carry on the works of Jesus by either sharing the gospel or how we impact the community around us, laying hands on the sick. It's all there that we were supposed to do. And as Jesus ascended into heaven, you know, he said, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, signs will follow you. I think sometimes we get a little bit nervous because we don't always see the signs following us. But Jesus said signs would follow us. And we need to be confident in that because, you know, there is a necessity today for signs and wonders to be evident in our community. If we want to transform our city, any city and our area and our communities for the Lord, if we want people to come to the gospel, I really do strongly believe signs and wonders need to be evident because it does create faith. It shows the goodness of God and it shows who he is. And people have a bad conception of who God is. And I believe if signs and wonders were following us all the time, then his nature would be more truly revealed and his love for all people. And if we see in Acts 1:8, Charlie, if you can pull that up for me. This is what he said as he was ascending up into heaven. He said, but you shall receive, said to his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And remember, the verse we read last week said, not only the prayer he prayed was not only for his disciples, but for all those who would hear the message in generations to come. So this is for us as well. He said, you shall receive power. Hands up if you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, pretty good number here. All right, so it says, after you've received power, so that includes all of us here, you shall be witnesses. Now, of course, it doesn't mean necessarily Jerusalem, Judea. That's where their area was, but it's for us as well, in our cities, in our state, in our nation, our marketplaces. And that is our commission as well. If we've received power, we are to be witnesses. And the term, the word witness in the New Testament actually means to represent. So we are to represent Jesus Christ. We are to represent the kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. And we are to represent what the kingdom is all about. And the kingdom is about love, life, health, prosperity, healing, everything. You name it. That's what the kingdom is about. Nothing evil in the kingdom. And so it's impossible to give an adequate witness or representation of God if there's never any demonstration of power. Whoa, that's a tough one. And I have to tell myself this all the time because, you know, I want to see more of the power of God. I want to see it work. Even when I'm in the hospital and you lay hands, you want people to notice a difference, not because of you, but because of who lives in you. And notice that God is real and his love is real and his nature is for them to be whole and to be well and to come into the kingdom. And so I've been reading this. This book by Randy Clark and Bill Johnson. They wrote it together, and I've got it as an e-book. But it's called The Essential Guide to Healing. And I'm just going to, just from some of the things I've read in that book, I just want to share a couple of those things with you because with some things that I really believe are key into where we're at right now and what we're wanting to do. And one of the things, two of the ways... And it, like there's so many, many ways, right, that you can be effective in sharing the gospel, many, many ways. But I think two ways that will be really, really effective for all of us is if, first of all, if we can learn to develop hearing the Spirit in words of knowledge. I talk to the Lord all about this all the time. And it comes in different ways, you know, and sometimes I think, we're all getting words of knowledge and we're not realizing it, right? It's just identifying that that was the Spirit of God talking to you or that thought came from the Spirit of God. So words of knowledge is one way, and there's three ways that three basic ways that Randy Clark was talking about in this, that he says you can receive a word of knowledge, and that is, it's a feeling or thinking or seeing. And often, Jesus used words of knowledge often in his ministry. So did the apostles, because it creates faith. And the more specific a word of knowledge is, the more faith it creates. Now, how many have had a word of knowledge over them in their lives, like at some stage? One that you knew was spot on. I have. And let me tell you, it was just like, whoa. I remember I got one from Fergus McIntyre that not even my husband knew some of the thoughts I had thought, you know, in my lifetime. And all my thoughts are coming out in this word of knowledge. Like, they were good thoughts. But I thought, whoa, you know, okay, it creates faith. It creates faith. So it's good to cultivate that. We all have the Spirit. The gifts are there for everybody. And if you can tell somebody something, especially a non-believer, that there is no way you could have known that, all of a sudden you have there's an antenna that goes up. You have their attention. And so, Randy Clark says feeling, seeing, and thinking. And there's many, many more ways, but in other words, feeling, meaning sometimes if it's, you could feel a pain for someone. Now, I've had this. All right, where you feel a pain and you think, okay, someone here, there's something, you know, like a pain in your shoulder or something. You know, I always, when that happens to me, I just always kind of first think, okay, is this my pain? Is this my pain or is this someone else's pain? But, you know, the Holy Spirit answers. So sometimes you could get it like that. Sometimes it's an impression that comes, a thought. Now, I'm sure many of you have had a thought, and then you didn't kind of do anything about it or know what to do about it. And then after, when that thought happened or something, you think, that was the Holy Spirit. That was the word of knowledge. Okay? Tune in. If you tune in and start to recognize these things, sometimes the thought would just be something about somebody that could be influential for them in their life or change something. I had a word of knowledge many, many years ago over a young one. And look, and I don't get them that often, especially in this way. Generally, if I have a word for somebody, I don't know I'm having it. Often, I can speak prophetically into someone, and afterwards, I walk away from it, and I think, where did that come from? It was a word of knowledge, okay? So it can happen that way. But many, many years ago, there was a young woman very, you know, troubled in some way, and you just didn't know what the way was. And I just, you know, all of a sudden, the word just dropped in my spirit. She's had a pregnancy and an abortion. Like, hello? Where would I get that from? And, you know, it's scary to then follow through with that. So you have to know, you know, I did follow through with that, and it brought tremendous release, and you know, to the young woman. And so, you know, like, that sort of thing, if you're tuned into the Spirit and you're listening to the Spirit, it will become easier and it will flow and you'll begin to recognize it more and more every day. And then the other way, he said, is you can get a mental picture. Like, you can actually see something in your spirit. You know, like maybe you see someone's had an accident, or you can see someone's, what they're wearing, or something like that. And that does happen. And then I went on and there was another way that said, dreams and unusual experiences. And immediately I thought of Louise. Louise has all these dreams, and I think some of them may very well be words of knowledge and your unusual experiences with license plates. Look, God will use anything. If we just put the antenna up and listen, God will use anything. So be alert for how the Spirit would like to bring these things in the different ways they may come. And you could touch someone's life. Could be a family member. You could be in the grocery store and get something. Wow, you know, and then follow through on it. And people come to the Lord and people get healed. So that's the first thing, developing in words of knowledge. And the second thing that's really important in, I believe, in bringing people into the kingdom is the power of our testimony. Wow, you know, there's nothing like the power of your testimony. And, you know, it's something that, because it's happened to you, then, you know, it can't be, it can't be said, well, no, I don't believe that, because it happened to you. And that testimony, you know, when someone says this and then they say it to someone else and they say it to someone else, it creates faith. And it's interesting because when we were away, I'm going to use your illustration, Sue. When we were away at the dawn service, it was very, very early in the morning. Like, we were on the 3:35 shuttle to get to the place. And so when it's finished, you know, like, we'll get back to the hotel and everything, and, you know, we're checking out, like, at 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, you think, okay, well, there's ceremonies and stuff that still have to go on, and so things are closed. There's no place to eat at that stage. And so I think, well, let's drive to Goulburn, and we'll have breakfast at Goulburn. And so I just happened to message my daughter about something, and I said, oh, well, because she wanted to use my washing machine for a long story. And she messaged me, and I said, all right, well, we're on our way home. I said, but we're stopping in Goulburn for breakfast. And she said, Goulburn's a hole. She said, you won't find anything there, you know. Ask the hockey players. And so I thought, yeah, you know, we know the bakery's there, and we know that, you know, well, you know, and Sue passes through Goulburn quite frequently, going to Cara, and so there's stuff down the main street, and yeah, Goulburn's a hole. Anyway, we get there, and, you know, I wanted something healthy and good coffee. And so we thought, well, let's just see what the bakery has. But as we were going up the bakery, you know, Rick said, oh, let's just go up here and turn around and maybe go down and look down the main street. So we went up the end of the road to the bakery, and there's this little cafe tucked at the back of the end of the road of this string of things called Grit Cafe. And so Sue said, I'll go check it out. So she goes and she checks it out, and she takes a photo. I mean, she comes and gets me and says, yes, yes, yes. We all get out. I take photos and I send them to Aubrey. You know, specialty coffee, the menu was unbelievable. And she said, Ben said Grit Cafe, but we didn't think it'd be open. Well, as we were sitting there, I mean, the food was great. And Sue said, I want to tell Jim and Jan about this. This is a great little spot. And, you know, and I'll tell them. And we're thinking, yeah, we'll tell so-and-so. You know, I'm going to tell them. And then she just turned and she said, that's how the gospel is supposed to work. Seriously. Something good. You find something good. I think go. Had it on Facebook.
Why did it even be there 2 days after we got home?
I mean, Sue's passed through Goulburn many, many times for work when she goes to Cara. Never knew about Grit Cafe. Word of mouth. People might not know about Jesus, but let me tell you, your testimony is something, you know, something exciting or whatever, God's done something for you, tell it. Because it brings the effect. In the Old Testament, the word testimony comes from the word which means do it again. Do again. So the testimony reveals what God wants to do again. And that's why I love testimony time here. Because you can hear someone's testimony and you're thinking, all right, God can do that for me. Or, oh, she talked to that person and said that. I can do that. I can do it again. I can do it like that. And so when we share something that God's done in our lives, we release the spirit of prophecy because it builds faith. It will build faith in whoever you're sharing with. So things become possible that weren't necessarily possible before you shared that testimony because it takes faith. The word brings faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if people hear what God's done for you, it will bring faith, and it will bring people to God. Now, we still have, you know, the parable of the seed, the sower, where not every time, it's not going to happen every time, but it will happen. It will happen. And so I found an example in the Bible that I thought was the greatest example for both words of knowledge and the power of the testimony. And it's in John chapter 4. How long have I been going? 20 minutes. All right. Won't read the whole passage, because then I'm going to show it to you. Okay? So John chapter 4, and this is the Samaritan woman. And I'm going to jump around a bit, Charlie, so just hang tight. All right, so here, you know, Jesus is going through and they stop in Samaria. They stop at Jacob's well, sorry. And so Jesus is very tired from his journey. And in verse 7, it says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And so the disciples had gone off to buy food. And so he's there alone with this woman, which you just didn't do in that day. And he starts to talk to her about living water. All right? And if you knew who was speaking to you, he says, I would give you living water, and you'd never have to thirst again. And she says, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, how could you have water that you never have to drink or never have to come and draw water again? And so in verse 16, Jesus says to her, go call your husband and come here. Here come the word of knowledges, right? Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. Man, you know, that's got to get your attention, right? And the woman says in verse 19, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Wow. And so they talk about, you know, her fathers, they were worship here. And then Jesus says, but the hour is coming now when true worshipers will worship. That's 23. Sorry, Charlie. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who's called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And then verse 27, and at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? And in verse 28, okay, we had the words of knowledge. The woman then left her water pot. She didn't even care about the water anymore. She left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the man, come. Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to Jesus. Then we're just going to jump down to verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all I ever did. The power of the word of knowledge and the power of the testimony. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Your testimony and that word of knowledge will lead people to Christ. Now, I just picked up the dramatization of this. It's only 4 minutes. So if you can put that up, Charlie, and I love this.
So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. On his way there, he had to go through Samaria. In Samaria, he came to a town named Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by the trip, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Samaritan woman came to draw some water.
Give me a drink of water.
His disciples had gone into town to buy food.
You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So how can you ask me for a drink?
Jews will not use the same cups and bowls that Samaritans use.
If you only knew what God gives, and who it is that is asking you for a drink, you would ask him. And he would give you a life-giving water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket and the well is deep. Where would you get that life-giving water? It was our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well. He and his children and his flocks all drank from it. You don't claim to be greater than Jacob, do you?
Those who drink this water will get thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give them will become in them a spring, which will provide them with life-giving water and give them eternal life.
Sir, give me that water. Then I will never be thirsty again. Nor will I have to come here to draw water.
Go and call your husband and come back.
I don't have a husband.
You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You've been married to 5 men, and the man you live with now is not really your husband. You have told me the truth.
I see you are a prophet, sir. My Samaritan ancestors worshipped God on this mountain. But you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we should worship God.
Believe me, woman. The time will come when people will not worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not really know whom you worship. But we Jews know whom we worship because it is from the Jews that salvation comes. But the time is coming. And is already here. When by the power of God's Spirit, people will worship the Father as he really is, offering him the true worship that he wants. God is spirit, and only by the power of his spirit can people worship him as he really is.
I know that the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything.
I am he. I who am talking with you.
At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned, and they were greatly surprised to find him talking with a woman. But none of them said to her, "What do you want?" or asked him, "Why are you talking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the town.
Come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. The Messiah.
Yeah, it should do more. It's not what. There's more. No. What's that? Not where it stopped when I watched it. Oh.
Yeah, like 4 minutes.
The end was everybody coming to. I mean, it was like only like 30 seconds, but it was the whole town coming to Jesus. Like it was amazing. So see, just that. I mean, you know. It'd be something to get a word of knowledge like that, you've got to admit, and have the guts to give it. But the power of one, the power of one testimony. And so on that note, does somebody have a testimony that will encourage the body today? Well, you want a mic? Wait a minute. Okay.
You know, in the movies where you see, like, when there's a tornado coming in America, there's huge, great big dark clouds all over the sky. There's a little farmhouse in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's what I saw, and the clouds were really, you know, roiling. You could tell that there was a storm coming. And there was people going into the storm basement under the house. And that's basically what I saw. The house obviously represents the house of God. People obviously were the people going into the house of God,
yeah,
because of the storms that were coming, which goes along with what Sue Ellen was,
yes,
saying about the Lord is coming soon.
Amen. Amen. People coming into the ark. Okay. Very good. Thank you for that, Sue. Yep, Cherry.